Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gathering together again. Thank you for the testimony we just had now, Lord. Thank you, you are the good shepherd, Lord, watching over your own. Thank you for not only being our God and our chief shepherd. Make up your people and the sheep of your pasture. Every passing day, Lord, and making us to lie down in green pasture. You know, we had the still waters. Lord, we thank thee, Father. Blessed be the name of Lord. David wrote about you, and then he came and said, I am that good shepherd. And we thank you, we experience your good shepherdship every day, just as we had in the testimony. Thank you for your promise to be with us always, to the end of the age, so we can rest assured and live in perfect peace. Your peace you left with us. Help us to take advantage of it in every situation. Now, Lord, as we read your word this morning, we are trusting you, Lord, to bless us. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning, miracle at the pool of Bethesda. Miracle at the pool of Bethesda. I'm going to read a couple of verses from John chapter 5, probably the first few verses in there. Verse 1 says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever there first, after troubling the water set in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. The Bible says, and immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. So talking of a miracle at the pool of Bethesda. So, some people have estimated that the Lord's ministry was just about over a year at the time of this event. It was the time of the Passover, like we read, and in Jerusalem. So the Lord was visiting Jerusalem at that same time for the Passover, presumably. He was under close surveillance by the Sanhedrin. Why? Because, they have set emissaries, of the Sanhedrin. And they have brought him back, report of the great thing he was doing in Galilee, the miracles and so forth, did in Galilee and so on. They have heard of the turning of water into wine in John chapter 2, all the miracles that he was doing. So, they sent their emissary to go and be looking after him and so on. And they started charging with very, very heavy indictment. They have accused the Lord of many things, that he consulted with the sinners, that he claimed that he had the power to forgive sins. They accused him that he showed laxity in the matter of keeping the Sabbath. They accused the Lord, that in their opinion, that he had guilty of blasphemy, all kind of things they accused the Lord of, and they were watching every step he made, as well as that. Now, they were soon to accuse him of yet another thing in this occasion in Jerusalem, that he came to Jerusalem now. But this miracle that just happened right there at the pool of Bethesda. So, as we read in that particular portion of scripture, There was in Jerusalem, near the, what they call the sheep market, a pool known by the name Bethesda, which was claimed to have some remarkable powers, healing properties and so forth like that, you know. Around a five-sided man story, like the Pentagon. Is that the Pentagon? Five-sided and so like that, you know. Just imagine the Pentagon sign, right? Five-sided and so on. There are porches in that pool like that, you know. And, you know, there lay this great multitude of impotent, blind, halt, withered, and some of that, you know. It was said that at certain times, an angel will come down into the pool, they said, the Bible said, and troubled it. And whosoever first step into the pool was made of whatever disease he had. So as we read in the passage, among these suffering masses, lying some distance from that pool, was an especially pitiful condition. A man in an especially pitiful condition who had been a paralytic in our modern language and for 38 years. He had come to the pool. We don't know how he got there. Maybe he crawled there. Maybe somebody raised him up there. We don't know. But somehow, he was there. And whatever means he found, he was available, he was there. Being left there unaided, and as the motion of the water occurred at irregular, you can't predict where the water is going to move, right? Irregular times, and others just get there into the pool before him. So others less feeble than him, just get there, and he's always not able to get there, where the water was moving. So we know one of the reasons our Lord heal people is because of his compassion, right? When you see this miracle, the Lord did many other things that occur around this miracle. That's why it's worth considering. So, did the Lord look on the man with this man with a deep sympathy or pity rather, or compassion? So the Lord who even went to him, right? So the Lord has seen him. He knows all things. Of all the people in that place, there are multitude of them, right? He went to just this one. 38 years in suffering, the Lord just went to this one alone. It is obvious that this man's whole life had been one of frustration and despair. And he was a beaten up man. In modern language, American will say, beaten up man. See? A soul for whom no man cared. Like he said, nobody to help me. That's what he said. Where the water is moved, nobody to help me, couldn't move and so on. So beating up man, and for whom no man cared. See, notwithstanding this, he had a slender hope, a tiny hope. Who knows, he will think, someday, somewhere, someone could take pity on him. And when the water was troubled, might assist him into the pool first before anybody else. He keep on going, 38 years going, never give up. And to attract the man's attention, then the Lord said these words, "Will thou be made whole," the Lord said. And when he heard that, he had been so being in this hopeless condition for so long that question that the Lord asked him scarcely stirred him at all, Take away this stranger. Let me just say, this stranger might be the kind of and kind enough to me to help me get into the water. So when the moving again took place, so he nevertheless explained the sad story of his long frustration to the Lord. So the other said, "We have a make hole." Then he just going to tell the Lord about his frustration all these years and so forth. So then spoke the Lord a word of command, like he always did. "Rise, take all thy dead and walk." See? And the voice of the Lord carried such a weight of authority that the man involuntarily, if you will, made an effort to rise. Just like when he spoke to any other thing, the wind, the storm and so on, peace be still. And there was a great calm. It's always still like that now. The voice of authority, The voice that created the heaven and the earth. That same voice that says, "Let there be light." When darkness was upon the deep, in Genesis chapter 1, you know, that same voice that spoke to Adam, you know, at the garden and so forth. Adam, where are you? Who told you that you are naked? That same voice, you know, that called Moses at the burning bush. That same voice, you know, the voice of the Lord carried every weight. Anyway, and to unspeakable joy, as he did, he found the atrophied muscles in modern language, right? You know, responding. See? After 38 years of lying on a cot, he suddenly found that he could walk. It is surprising that this man was able to do this without, look at it now. Look at the great multitude that were there and so on. Despite the commotion happening around this man, the others didn't even know what is going on and so on. No, and so on that, no. You think they attract the attention, you know, of this multitude of other sufferers, right? They got their eyes so transfixed on the pool for the next moving of the water that even this commotion caused by the man taking the skull failed to get their attention at all. Surely, what do we find? They represent many people today whose gaze is upon physical remedies. See? And nothing against the physical remedies. Thank God for the physician. Thank you for the nurses. See? And so on. And we don't condemn them because they are of great help. Where there is not enough faith, you know, the Lord, praise God. There is not enough faith. I mean, God is using them to do great things, you know. And the Lord never condemned the physicians. In fact, in one place in Luke 5, they that are need not a physician, right? But they that are sick, they don't ever condemn them. We don't condemn them too. They do a great work and so forth, and that, you know. Nonetheless, the average physician will be as ready as anyone else to admit that there are many diseases that medical science could not cure, right? So, in truth, I mean, every doctor knows that, you know. They know, many of them know it. Even the Bible name certain of them for us that the doctor couldn't cure. In Luke 8, we read of a woman. Bible says in Luke 8:43, a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. That's in Luke 8:43. Which has spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be cured of any of them. So you see, so physicians, whether you like it or not, there are many diseases out there that nobody can cure. They call it incurable disease. Yeah, so, but we don't condemn them for all the great work they do, and don't ever condemn them so far. No. So, and there have been many people today who go from one operation to another, one surgery to another surgery, you know, and they are so intend to find a cure that they meet the great physician. They don't approach the great physician. Praise the Lord. See? They don't know anything about him. You know? So we are the doctors and that's where God begins. Praise the Lord. To him be the glory. Anyway, so the people at the pool evidently failed to notice the man's healing. Or they would have all clamored around him to heal them, right? They were looking somewhere else. They meet the great physician, right? And they are meeting him today, you know? So, and what a lesson we learn from there. And now, the ecclesiastics, the Sanhedrin, they have their agents around and so on, took a quick note of the situation. Like they always did, like I said, that setting a surveillance around him, everything he did, wherever he went, right? So, and these hireling shepherds, as we call them, they are hireling shepherds, right? As they were. Rather than notice he had been healed, they were angered that the man was carrying his cot or his bed on his Sabbath day. See? This they considered a flagrant violation of the Sabbath. The man answered, saying, "He that made me whole, don't blame me, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take off that day and walk." In verse 11, he says so. So the Sabbath was made for man. That was done. The Sabbath was made for man. But this hireling shepherd, this Sanhedrin, this Jews and so forth, have changed it around until it seemed that man was made for the Sabbath. See? And the observance of the Sabbath have become a fetish, if you want, a custom edged with a innumerable frivolous and senseless restriction. We don't talk about what is the purpose of the Sabbath, really. Like I said, was made for man. The observance of the Sabbath, it's a great provision of the Mosaic law, and it's for man, it's of mercy and judgment. That's how it was made for. These heresy hunters, they are looking for people who are heretic, right? They are the ones who are even heretic and so on. They already know that maybe it is the law who heals him. They don't know who heals him. They are wondering who heals him and so on, that, So they were just putting their nose everywhere to find out the source of this miracle that healed this man who had been healed for 38 years. And they begin to question the man as to who it was that told him to take his bed and walk. They did not even ask him who healed him initially. They were concerned about their Sabbath and their law and so on, They don't care about the suffering of the man. Because this is how they are hiring shepherds. No compassion, nothing. They are only struggling over the law and so on. They don't even know what the law was made for. Or the Sabbath and so on, They purposely ignore this fact of who healed him, but press their interrogation as to who had told him to take off his bed. The imagined breach of their law was their sole concern. They don't care about the man who had been suffering for 38 years, And we have many so-called false shepherds today all over the world in the name of religion. See? They believe they had a clear-cut precedent of the violation of the law. That's all they are concerned, What was the law for? They will call to remembrance, for example, how during the time of the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, how a man was torn for gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. We are thinking about all those kind of things. That was in Exodus 13, in the Sabbath and so on, a man was gathered on the Sabbath day, was stoned to death and so on. All they call into remembrance the scripture in Jeremiah 17:21, where it is written, take heed to yourself and bear no body on the Sabbath day. That's what was in their mind. They don't care about the man dying, who has been suffering, who has in this terrible condition for 38 years and so on. They are ignorant or deliberately ignore the reason for this injunction was one of mercy. Why did God put the Sabbath law there? What is the purpose? Why was this installed? What is the law of the Sabbath for you there, It was intended to protect the oppressed from a life of incessant labor, working 7 days a week. It was installed the Sabbath to prevent that kind of a thing. Had it not been for the institution of the Sabbath or the seventh day, the greed of the employers would have exacted from the working man a labor without cessation. They will make them to work 7 days a week, right? So they don't put the law of the Sabbath there for the greedy employers and so on. So why would the commandment be interpreted now to force this man who had been healed not to carry his bed home? Probably the only thing he ever has anymore. That's the only thing he has. So he can't carry it because of the law of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. See? So anyway, in John, in verse 12, they asked him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. I always like the Lord that for that. When he did a miracle, he just leave the scene. Like he said in one place, maybe here also, he doesn't look for glory from any man. Praise the Lord. That's how it should be today. So it's like that kind of spirit was in Philip the evangelist, right? In Acts chapter 8, right? after a great crusade. Maybe, I don't know, almost close to what happened the day of Pentecost, maybe not to that dimension, you know. And people of Samaria received the gospel and called the apostles from Jerusalem to go and pray for them to receive the Holy Ghost. And there was great joy in that city, right? All of a sudden, God called him to go somewhere else to go and minister to just one soul. He didn't say, I have a great crusade here. He just went there. He had a great experience with the Lord. It's good to always obey the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, we are told that the man went to the temple. In that same story we are reading, we are not told why he went there, but presumably, I would think, to give God thanks for his healing. That's what I would think above anything. Other people have a different opinion. I think that's what he went to the temple for. So, and that will teach us a lesson. Remember the 10 lepers? We are not 10 cleansed. Where are the 9? The Lord asked them. Always to give thanks to whatever he does for us. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Even Yoruba proverb say, So praise the Lord. So always give me thanks for what he has done. Even in Psalm 103, even the Bible says so. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that he will do me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We must always remember to give thanks to the Lord for everything he does for us. So there the Lord sought him out in the temple and gave him this word of warning in verse 14. Behold, I just caught few words. Thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come on thee. This will indicate to us that that sin might have been the cause of his affliction, and he had to forsake it. That's what we will read from that place. This will disprove the assertion today by many people. They will say that if God truly healed that person, then he can never get sick again. There are theories that are out there. He got healing. He can never get sick. If he gets sick again, God never healed him. Not so. God can heal somebody. He doesn't live right. But not only can he get sick again, even worse thing can come to that person, right? So people need to say that, if God healed, why did he get sick again? So we learn a lot of things from these things and so forth, So, not only may an affliction return to a certain who doesn't work with God after his healing. If a man fails to go on with God or lapses back into sin, but an even worse thing can come upon them and so on. Where the Lord has taught us in another place with a severe case of that man born blind that not all sicknesses are as a result of sin. That is in John chapter 9. I can read that verse 1 to us and so on. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And the disciple asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? They always assume that if one is sick, they have committed a sin. I'm balancing it up right now. See? So even today, people think that way and so on, So, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents? That he was born blind. Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So kind of just a side attraction, but it's a good thing to talk about this miracle at the pool of Bethesda. So the result of the miracle of the healing of the impotent man was that the Jews came to Jesus angrily, charging him with the violation of the Sabbath day. That's in verse 15. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. I always watch many of the things the Lord did. They were on Sabbath day really, Why did he do that, So we can look into that a little bit, So the Lord answered their charge with a wonderful discourse recorded in the 17th verse. But Jesus answered them, my Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. He took the opportunity now. He knew why he went there, not only to heal by compassion, but to reveal his deity and to even speak of his deity, you know. So my father walked hither too, and I walk. So God had walked through the creative week and rested on the seventh day, according to Genesis, right? 2:1. Let me read that one to you. Though the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. The Lord used it to bring us a deep revelation about himself and the creation and so forth. Other scriptures reveal that we are read in Genesis, these creative days are not 24-hour days. What are they? Indeed, the fourth verse of Genesis 2 says this. 2:4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. It wasn't made in 6 24-hour days. It took generations to do it, according to the scripture in that Genesis 2:14 and so on. So, and could he have done it in 6 24-hour days? Absolutely. Even the split second could have done it. He is the Almighty. He was in a hurry. In the creation, he was in no hurry to create anything. See? So, and he is the Almighty God, the ancient of days, Jesus Christ our Lord. Of him, the scripture says in Psalm 94, talking, expanding on that, the creation wasn't even on a 6 24-hour days. Psalm 90 verse 4 says, for 1,000 years in thy sight, but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. 2 Peter 3, 8 tell us the same thing. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So, I'm talking about the Sabbath, right? And I went into the creation and all that, you know, because the Lord says, my father walketh either so, and I walk also, right? Nevertheless, the Lord said of walking on the Sabbath, my father walketh either so, and I walk also. What happened? Man's disobedience disturbed the Sabbath paradise of God and forced God to resume his work in the redeeming of a race that had fallen into sin. Yeah. 2,000 years, and so in the creation for that, you know. So in the recreation, after the recreation, those 2,000 years, the recreation of the earth, see. And after all those things, you see what happened in the garden and so forth. So God will enter into his rest, but the man sinned and so forth. Now they bring him back. They break the Lord's Sabbath, his rest. They broke it. Man break it. So that's why it's working again now. The Jews were ready to, they were ready to instruct the Lord and set him straight about the Sabbath day. That would have time to do. But it was the Lord himself who did the instructing. In one place, I believe in John 6:30, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. I gave Moses that law, you know, anyway. So what are you telling me? They don't know who he was. When they told him, they didn't believe him. So for when they mentioned the Sabbath, he declared he was emulating his father. That's in verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because they know what he was saying, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said that God was his father. And so then they know that, you know, making himself equal with God, he said that he is God. And that's what he was saying to them. This is the occasion of the healing to declare his deity, you know. This discourse is one of the most remarkable of all the gospels, because the Lord began to reveal his deity in this place and so on. There the Lord made known his messiahship. Right there. Did you know what he was talking about? Why would they kill him? Do you know what he was talking about? See? Make known his messiahship. For the Jews generally did not expect a divine messiah. What are we looking for? There the Lord. So anyway, there the Lord revealed his divinity also. 23rd verse. He says this. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. And what he did not say there, as we later tell them, he told them later in John 10:30 on the same thing, I and my Father are one. That's what he was saying. That is in John 10:30. I and my Father are one. In other place, John 14:9. He that has seen me has seen the Father. I'm expanding on what he said in that John 5:23, right? In other passages and so on. And how seest thou show the Father? See? So, there the Lord attests his deity with fourfold witnesses. And can you see now, from that healing, at the Bethesda, going to reveal himself, as the Messiah, his deity and so forth. He will call about four witnesses about them, about himself. Number one, in John 5:33, that John came to bear witness of him. And that's in John 5:33. He sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but this thing I say, that he might be saved. I come to save you people, to save the world. He was a burning and a shining light. And you are willing for a sin to rejoice in his light. Then number two, of how fourfold witness that he bear of him, that came to witness fourfold of them. By his own miracles, in verse 36, but I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. So John, the Baptist, bear witness. Even my miracles, they bear witness. I remember in one place, even the accusers, when the Messiah come, will he do greater miracle than this man did, even to call him a man? See, even if someone say, if when the Messiah come, will he do a greater miracle than this? Anyway, he has more witnesses. Even the Father himself bore witness in verse 37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. He has neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. So another witness is this, one of the greatest of another witness, the scriptures. Verse 39. Share the scriptures, he said, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So the Lord begins to reveal his deity, and even point to them four witnesses and so on, that how that he is the Messiah that has come to save the world. So why did they not believe on the Lord? We know in the end why they were blinded, right? But we can say this also, So with all these witnesses we mentioned here that the Lord told them, why are they not believing? Yes, they gave the scripture. These Jews, they are meticulous by the scripture. They gave it superstitious reverence. They even counted the very letters in the book, in the law. They count the letters in the book, in the law. And so that's how meticulous they were, And we today have witnessed the amazing manner in which the prophets foretold all things about the Messiah. I don't see how they can't see Isaiah 9, verse 6, and so on. Why they can't see that? How they can't see that he had to come humbly before. I don't know why they were blinded, right? Of his birth today, we know in Bethlehem, were all foreordained. They were all for prophesied. Of his humanity, his divinity, of his mission and ministry, all were told beforehand, beforehand in the scripture. Why couldn't they see it? The 53rd chapter of Isaiah plainly shows that his coming will be in humility and condescension. Humble himself, right? Even Daniel, in Daniel 9:24-27, even gave the time that the Messiah will appear. 69 weeks of years after the commandment went forth to rebuild Jerusalem. The Lord gave the answer as their pride, why they don't believe. Because they are proud. Because the Lord said in verse 44 of John 5, all these mysteries the Lord unleashed, unfolded at this miracle at the pool of Bethesda. 44 verse of John chapter 5, The Lord said, because they are proud. How can you believe, the Lord said, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only. See? On every humble man of God to seek honor from God only, the Lord said. So their pride made them to see a different kind of a Messiah. Even till today, you know, call it as a prayer, they saw a different kind of a Messiah. You know, one who would throw off the yoke of the Romans, how they were looking for, and make jury a world power. See, today they are still looking for that today. One, a Messiah, different, who will bring great prosperity, how they were looking for. They wanted a Messiah who will defeat the Israel's enemies and usher in a golden age or a millennium. How they were looking for. They missed the other attribute of the Messiah, that he will come humbly. See? This pride made it constitutionally impossible for them to believe in this Jesus and so on, and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the true Messiah. For he came in meekness and lowliness of heart. Yet all the also that they said this is our son as well. Hence, they rejected him who came in his father's name. And instead became ready victims, because they rejected him, they became ready victims of every Messiah that appear on this scene. Out of this miracle, many things came out there that the Lord revealed by himself, which you know he has to praise God. And like the Lord said, about 100 years later, truly enough, they appear one fourth Messiah. So a century later, they will accept one fourth Messiah called Bar Kashebas. That was his name. Bar Kashebas. Whose fanaticism resulted in the final destruction of the Jewish race, or Jewish nation rather, sorry. As the long expected Messiah, all the rabbis, they say, oh, this is the Messiah we are looking for. You know, and so on. He was a military leader who led the, what they call the Bar Koba revolt against the Romans. I can say they are looking for a Messiah who will take away the yoke of the Romans, right? And this man came like a miracle, like a magic man. This is an answer to that, you know. That was in 132 AD, you know. 100 years later, how the Lord spoke this thing. If another one comes, him they will receive, right? So, and he came truly. In fact, they actually put up the Roman for 3 years. You know, and so that, you know, as if they really won and so on. So they now say, that's the Messiah who is to come, you know, and so on. Military man, right? His other names include Simon Ben Kosheba, you know, and he died in 135 AD. So the Lord was right. Now, after that, there have been over 60 other false messiahs after the Lord spoke these things and so on. And the most wicked and deceptive of them all will appear in this age. See? The most wicked and the most deceptive of this Messiah, this first one, will appear in this age, just before the days of the great tribulation. See? And the Lord referred to him when he said in John 5:43, where we are at, I'm calling my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his name, him ye will receive. So when this first Messiah comes on the scene, he will meet some of the expectations the Jews have of the Messiah. You know, what is it? For example, he will bring some prosperity when he comes. How do we know? Daniel the prophet, chapter 8:25. And through his policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. But what kind of prosperity is it? However, it will be a short-lived prosperity, introduced with what? With a mark, the mark of the beast. Revelation 13:18 says so. So when it comes, yeah, short-term prosperity with a mark, right? Or the beast and so on, the mark of doom. And it will even bring some peace. But by that peace, Bible says in the book of Daniel, in the same place, it will destroy many. Back in the same verse of Daniel 8:25, the Antichrist and so on. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many, he says. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but it shall be broken without hand. So we see right there, the miracle at the pool of Bethesda. See that man there, waited for so many years and so on, that you know. And the Lord normally will heal because of compassion. And this one is not an exception. He was compassionate. Single that man out, you know, and heal him. Took the occasion to reveal his messiahship, his deity, and so on, that you know, in that event. And so we learn lessons from there, many lessons from that thing. So we know this man, all the 38 years of not giving up, what a lesson. I mean, it takes determination, right? 38 years not giving up, you know. The present man at the pool of Bethesda received a miracle from the Lord Jesus Christ. He couldn't walk, didn't know how he got there, you know. Keep on going there every day, not giving up and so on. Something in him said one day that he'll be helped and so on, that, you know. So, and for this man, the impossible was made possible by the omnipotent God, Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ our Lord, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Ready to make the similar impossibility before you possible, even now, regardless of how long you have faced them. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm closing up right now. Truly, brethren, this day, the day spring from on high has not only visited us, but the day star has arisen in our hearts. Even the star out of Jacob, the star of eternity, the bright and the morning star, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Today is the day of your miracle. Ask and you shall receive. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It never changes. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for revealing. You say, unto babes and so forth, you know, who will laugh. Reveal yourself to them, Lord. All the rabbi and so on, and the people couldn't see anything. We see in that lesson, that man stood his ground. He wasn't discouraged. He keeps on going every 38 years of waiting. And yet he's singling us, Lord. He's telling us today, just as we just heard in that short note that we put in there by the Holy Spirit, Lord, of your almightiness, that no matter what we face, say nothing, with God, all things are possible. No matter how long we have faced them, you are here, even today. Today is the day of salvation, not to postpone anything, that we can receive our answer today to whatever miracle we are looking for, whatever has seemed to be impossible unto us to this very hour. Today is the day of salvation. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you meet all of these needs that may seem impossible to us this morning as we leave this place. Father, Bible says, you know, you confirm the word of his servant and bring to pass the counsel of his messengers. Let it be so this morning for whatever we may ask the Lord in our life this morning. We thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. And as we wait for the coming of the Lord, that last one, that wicked one, the most deceptive, the most crooked, the most antagonist of the Almighty, is about to reveal himself. We thank you for the great promise of the Lord, that Lord, before you could take over this planet, Lord, that you come for the sins of the living God. You have promised us, Lord, that the Lord, you know, as we pray and watch, you know, and watchful, that the Lord of God will be in order to escape his reign of terror. In the name of the Lord Jesus, help us to keep watching and praying, Lord, never to be weary. Look at that man, 38 years now, to keep our eye on the Lord. See? He got a miracle. Also, let us look for him. Today, we will appear again the second time without sin unto salvation. I count us toward the Lord to be of them of whom it is said, because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you for the hour of temptation. Shall come to try all that dwell upon the face of the earth. Until that time, whatever miracle we need, today is it. And we receive. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. We worship you now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.